Blog Talk Radio. Monday night. My name is Heather McRae, and you are listening to Neurodiversity Radio on the Authentic You Radio Network. I don't know about you guys, but up here in the greater Toronto area, it has been a gorgeous, gorgeous weekend and a gorgeous day. Happy Monday to you. I trust that you got through the day well, and I look forward to this time with you. As I said, I am the world's only neurodiversity coach. How do I do it? I utilize the 8 principles of neurodiversity, which were created by Dr. Thomas Armstrong, PhD. My goal as the neurodiversity coach is to guide my clients to create lives they always wanted by letting go of the past and negative self-image. What's in it for my clients? A deep sense of who and what you are without labels and stereotypes, the ability to create the life you want by making the most of your true gifts, talents, and available resources. By making use of the principles of neurodiversity, you are able to positively create your unique niche, your place in the world. And you also get the ability to let go of the past and limiting beliefs about yourself that prevent you from being who you are. I offer a 30-minute mini coaching session, individualized one-on-one niche construction coaching, and group coaching. As a matter of fact, tonight on the calendar, tonight after the show, I am having a free hour-long niche construction group coaching event. This will be on Skype. So if you are a Skype person or can get on Skype, if you send me a Skype message that says group coaching, I will add you to the call and we will get started at 9 o'clock. All you need is pen and paper. This is going to be a rich hour where we look at all of the things that are involved in creating the life that you want, just starting where you are. And I'm really, really looking forward to that. In line with that, my guest tonight is somebody really, really wonderful. As I've said before, I find the neatest people on Facebook. And I've met some pretty amazing people that offer support for special education students. And for those of you who don't know, one of the biggest aspects of special education is something called an IEP, an Individual Education Plan. And when a student enters into special education, either in elementary, middle, or high school, their IEP is their plan for how they usually include social-emotional goals, math, language arts. Sometimes they have a speech component, depending on how young the child is or depending on what their specific needs are. It contains all sorts of goals and strategies for the student to follow. And I found the neatest website, and it's called Life After IEPs. And the woman who runs the website is a really phenomenal lady named Mary Mazzoni, and I asked Mary to come on the show tonight. Mary, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad to be here, Heather. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here, too. Mary, let's get started, because it's such a juicy topic for anybody who has a child involved in special education. Why did you start Life After IEPs?
Well, I've been working with families for actually in different capacities about 30 years. And the transition from school to life after school is scary. There's no really other word for it.
For
parents and for kids, because it's like taking a jump into the unknown. The rules of the game change. The protections of special education are no longer there. There are agencies, but they work in a very different way. And the need for information and encouragement and support and some coaching in the planning process was very evident to me as I spoke with families. And the other thing is that there are a lot of resources that are available, but they're scattered all over the web. And so I wanted to have a place where families could go, where they could find the information they needed.
I just think it's phenomenal that you did that, because I can tell you, even as when I was a special educator working in the classroom and looking at what sort of was available for the kids as they moved on to high school and beyond, it's true. There are resources out there, but you have to know how to look for them. So the fact that you've created this wonderful place where people can go. Now, let me ask you, just because I want to make sure we get the information out there right away, is it lifeafterieps.com?
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, lifeafterieps.com. So, Mary, tell me first, what are some of the challenges of planning for life after high school for teens and for parents? Because I can tell you, even outside of education, it's such a big leap for everyone.
It sure is. And I think we need to remember that adolescents are adolescents first. Whatever particular, we're talking people here, and we're talking a stage of development which has its work to do. You know, the adolescent stage of development is a time when the young person needs to separate themselves from their family and explore and try to discern who it is I am and what it is I'm going to do away from, separate from my family. That's the work of adolescence. And it's a wonderful time. It's also a time of there's some pain there for the young person and the parent, no matter what the situation is. But the idea that we all want to have is that this is part of growing up, and we want it to be a positive experience. Now, the layers, though, of additional challenge that come into play if someone has a disability is that the specially designed instruction and supports that are available in the United States, there's different laws in different countries. In the United States, it's called the Education, it's called the IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. Those protections basically require that the school provide the accommodations and modifications and instruction that are needed for the individual student to access education. But those protections end after graduation. And so being able to understand how to advocate for yourself, being able to understand, okay, these are my strengths, these are my goals, this is how I can make my way in the world without the types of supports that were available during high school, that requires planning over a period of time. It's kind of like stepping into, it's like Alice stepping into Wonderland, you know, it's an abrupt change. And unless it's planned for in an intentional way, and unless the young person has become quite practiced over time with what we call sometimes self-determination skills, which is being able to make a plan, work that plan, be able to use a strategy to solve problems, be able to communicate their needs and their ask for accommodations. With that takes practice. You know, that takes a lot of practice. So that's transition planning, along with all the things that every other adolescent needs to do, which is, you know, career exploration.
It's a neurodiverse issue. It's every kid's issue. And if they are a child with special needs, it's that and then some.
And really, you know, to be able to form a collaboration with the young person becoming more and more independent, and the family and school and whatever agency may be involved after school working together, that's the ideal.
Yeah.
That's not common. Oftentimes, there are many different variables that make that ideal situation a struggle, and therefore it's good for families and kids to be able to have examples of tools that have been used by other people to successfully navigate the transition. So that's why I kind of wanted to put those tools together on the site.
I just think that's essential, and it would be wonderful to get high school counselors and also special educators that work with high school to, connect with you and to start working on these tools when the child is, a sophomore, junior in high school to ease that transition and stuff. So, Mary, what are some of the features of your site that you want people to know about?
Well, the first one is that there's a link at the top that says free transition tools. And if you click there, it's kind of a tool shop. What I've done is collected the best tools for different functions that I've found that have been developed by a range of different organizations. Some have been developed by self-advocates, advocacy agencies, or even government agencies or schools. And these tools have different purposes. Some of them help with exploring careers. Some of them help step-by-step planning for things like getting ready for post-secondary education or getting ready for employment. Some look at planning for health because that's another big transition going from pediatric health services to adult services. Some tools for mental health, wellness, and planning, and the young person learning more about how to care for their own mental health. So there are different tools for different purposes. And as I said, I wanted to have them together in an organized place. So if you click on the free transition tools button, you have a kind of a place where you can see those tools organized according to topic, and they also are explained in blog posts. So it's not just directly accessing the tool, but getting some background about when you might want to use it and why. So that's a feature I would like people to know about. And another is I find when I work with young people that they really, really appreciate, and so do their parents, hearing the stories of young adults who also have differences and who have been able to successfully navigate this transition. Now they're on the other side, they're in college or they're working or they have a entrepreneurial endeavor that they're working on, and those stories, little by little, I'm collecting stories, and I invite any of your listeners who would like to suggest or to be a success story. I would love to add their story to the collection because it really helps when you're 14 or 15 years old, and it's hard to imagine. Day-to-day life is kind of a struggle, and it's hard to imagine being out of school. It helps to be able to hear from someone who has navigated that road and has something to share. So that's another feature.
I can't agree with you more. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting that you said that about success stories. I was a nanny for 11 years with the same family in Maryland years ago, and they're the family of my heart. I'm still very close with them. And one of the boys actually went on to, after successfully completing high school in a special education program, he actually went on to Fairleigh Dickinson University and graduated with a bachelor's degree in a special education program, and then went on to get a master's degree in a special education program. And he's now apparently just got a teaching job at a school there. So I, you know, when I first heard that Jeremy was going to college and where he was going to school, I was thrilled because I myself, even as a special educator, didn't know that there were special education programs available in colleges and universities.
There are, and there's a website that's called Think College, and I believe it's .org because it's a nonprofit organization. But it looks at, and I've got a blog post about it on the site, but it looks at all of the different types of support that are at different post-secondary schools, because there's a whole range now. And it's also possible to, if there's a particular type of program that you want to study and it's not available at a school that has the type of support that you need, it's actually now possible to contract with coaches who will support different parts of post-secondary education. So there's a lot of planning involved because actually the post-secondary, the law that pertains to post-secondary education is in the United States, the Americans with Disabilities Act, which does not require the same types of modifications that are available in K through 12, and you know, programs like Fairleigh Dickinson go beyond what's required by ADA. So you really need to know what does the Disability Support Office at a particular school offer, and how does that compare to what is available at other schools that offer have the academic program that you're looking for. So you really got to shop around.
So this really kind of goes back to what I said about how if people connected with their guidance counselor and other people in their high school when their child was in, you know, sophomore level and then connected with you and your resources at that level, that would probably ease their transition tremendously because you offer them the resources they need to kind of know what questions to ask even.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I also, though, would encourage thinking about transition, believe it or not, beginning in eighth grade for a number of reasons. There's some decisions that are made in eighth grade in terms of courses, in terms of things like to go with career tech or not to go with career tech, what types of skills we're focusing on in terms of, you know, some of the executive functioning skills like organization and time management and that type of thing are good to start, you know, in around eighth grade. But, yes, I would welcome any calls anyone has, emails to ask questions and kind of think about the individual needs of a student because, you know, tools are great, but the bottom line is when we're talking about an individual young person, no one tool is going to be the perfect fit. You want to try to understand what that individual needs.
That's a very, very good point. That's a very good point indeed. That's a very good point. And it's funny that you said that about starting in eighth grade because really I think one of the things that people don't realize is that as different as special education may sound, the needs of the kids are pretty much the same as everybody else's. I mean, eighth grade is around the time that everybody else is starting to have to look more seriously at career goals and what direction they want their kids to go in and all that stuff. And I just think it's so phenomenal that you're there. Now, if people wanted to email you, is mary@lifeafterieps.com the correct email address for you?
It is indeed. And on the site, if they are on the site, there's in the in the right hand column there, there's a little white envelope, and you can just click on that and get right to me too. But yep, it's mary@lifeafterieps.com.
Now, what phone number can they call you at if they want to call you?
Well, I don't have a. I've got a cell phone number.
I can't give that to you.
I the best way to reach me would be by email, and that's that. If I said call, the best way to probably reach me is by email.
I want to make sure that with the resource that you're.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Oh no, that's okay. Now, Mary, what plans do you have for the site in the future?
Well, what I'm hoping to do, I've had some requests to do consulting that would result in action plans for individual students. Up until now, the site's a year old, and my goal has been to just have a place where the resources could be, the success stories could be, I could blog about how to use the tools and things to think about, but I've been getting some requests to move into more individual planning with families during this transition time and helping them to develop an action plan that suits that particular young person. So I'm looking to do that, but I'm also in the very near future, I'm actually right now drafting up a survey for parents that I would really, that I'm hoping to be able to have widely circulated. I'm working with some websites and some parent advocacy organizations to distribute this survey so that I can have a better understanding, and the advocacy organizations can too, of what the parents perceive as need at different stages of transition, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. And that will inform me better in terms of how to tailor the site to meet needs. You know, we have to always keep asking questions and listening.
Yeah.
That's the way we learn. So so that's what I'm working on right now, is to have a survey and learn from that.
I would think, too, that transition coaching would be just such a gift for so many families and kids that are, you know, like you said, when, you know, that lovely safety net that's there all through school, and then all of a sudden, holy crap, you're, you know, you're kind of out on your own there. And I would imagine that having a transition coach, especially someone with the vast amount of experience and knowledge that you have, would be just such a gift, because it would ease the fear and, you know, kind of, which actually leads into my next question for you. Can you suggest some action steps for listeners who are planning for their own future?
Sure, I'd be happy to. One of the first things that I want to emphasize is the importance of a young person getting some real practice in what is sometimes called self-determination skills. They're a set of skills that research has proven are connected directly to what the young person considers success after high school, okay?
Right.
And that looks like different things to different young people, because each young person is different, but the bottom line is that those teens who have had practice in setting small goals for themselves and planning steps and working steps to achieve small goals, those teens who have had practice at using a structured system to solve problems, those
right.
teens who have had some practice with time management, those teens who have had some practice with a structured process for self-regulation that works for them. For some kids, it's a 5-point scale, for some, whatever it might be, where they know that it, when their anxiety or frustration is changing from one level to another, that they have strategies that work for them, that help them to regulate that. Those are critical skills, and part of my work is working with school systems, and they're not often IEP goals, and they need to be. They need to be the focus of instruction and guided practice at home and at school, because they're really, really important skills.
You know, as a former classroom special educator, I can't agree any more with you. I mean, what you classify as self-determination skills, I completely agree, because a lot of times, I'm an adult with ADHD, and I wasn't even properly diagnosed until I was 40. So, I mean, I had to learn basically everything the hard way. And to, you know, to be able to be in that safety net and to learn how to, you know, first, you know, as you know, the first thing in special education is you learn how to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once you kind of know how it is that you learn, how you can best support yourself and you know, like what you said, having those action steps actually as part of the IEP from the beginning would be tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Because it takes years of practice. I mean, for anyone, it's not something we can expect an adolescent to just be able to do without really. That's exactly right. And to be honest with you, young people I know who have had instruction and guided practice at home and at school with these skills can actually be more effective self-advocates than teens who don't have a diagnosis but who haven't had that instruction. It's quite amazing to see the difference that it makes in a young person's ability to navigate, well, life after IEP is life outside of that support system. So those are important skill sets. And the other thing that's important in terms of actionable steps is to give young people from an early time, and here I'm talking about even tween age, a chance to explore their interests and their passions. So, like, for example, things like job shadowing, things like mentoring, things like volunteering. Volunteering, I can't emphasize the benefit. I have a whole post on 8 great reasons to volunteer and how to get started, because volunteering is a wonderful way for young people to check out different work environments, different types of situations that involve working adults and understanding how the work world works. It gives young people a chance to contribute, which is a really important part of life. And they can have a sense of, you know, I can tell you, you know, all sorts of stories if we had more time, but if young people realize that, gee, this is a time in my life where I can experiment with different jobs by volunteering and job shadowing, and I can make a choice based on, you know, really experiencing these different opportunities, that makes all the difference in the world. They're empowered now. So there's all sorts of great career exploration software programs, and I have, you know, I've got a number of posts about those, but you can't do it all on a computer. You can't just do career research on a computer. You gotta get out there and actually try things out. And so that's another actionable step that I encourage people to think about.
An essential one. And Mary, I wish we had more time, but believe it or not, our 30 minutes are up already, and I cannot thank you enough for being on the show tonight. Again, Mary Mazzoni's website is called lifeafterieps.com. You can contact Mary at mary@lifeafterieps.com. Mary, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.